2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Toad into DFS pros.
MLB Daily Dispatch brought to you by DFSArmy.com. Promo code PODCAST for 10% off each month of your subscription. Folks, I don't even know if there's a better deal in the industry right now. You get all this stuff at the DFS Army, $34.99 a month, but use the promo code PODCAST, get 10% off each month of your subscription. You can play around with the Domination Station, Research Station, and read all the wonderful articles and tools that we got. Once again, DFSArmy.com, promo code PODCAST. I'm host Al Walsh. Find me on Twitter at 14a.walsh. And I got another guy making his pod debut for the DFS Army. This is Scotty Bondar. You know him as Scotty B, the creator of the Dong Detector. You want to follow him on Twitter, you can do it at the Bondar brand. Exactly how it sounds. Welcome in, Scotty.
Hey, thanks for inviting me. It's exciting times.
Indeed, indeed. So I know you're out there right in the D.C. area. That is a huge, area of concern tonight. You mentioned it to me before we hit the record button on this pod, but probably not playing tonight in Washington, right?
Yeah, I'm sitting actually out in the rain right now doing this podcast, so it's been coming down probably the last 5 days, so I'd imagine it's not going to play.
All right. Looking at the percentages and whatnot for today, I believe it's a very steady 50 to 75% chance of rain all day. More of it coming before and after the game tonight. So Scherzer probably not going to be worth a damn now because of this. A couple other areas that we've got. We're going to send it over to our boy Mark Paquette, who's been doing a fantastic job with all the MLB weather. So make sure you follow him, especially if you remember the Army, the DFS weather channel there. But San Diego at Pittsburgh, Texas at Chicago, the White Sox, Miami at Atlanta, Chicago Cubs at Cincinnati. All these things have a chance for rain tonight, but we will have a much better idea what's going on. We're going to talk about these games on the pod today as if there is no weather concern, because as we get down the stretch, it might be that way anyway. So again, the only one there that we're going to have a lot of concern with, obviously, that Dodgers-Nationals game, so we can kind of X that one off. Everything else in play for the pod, though. In terms of pitchers, when we take Max Scherzer off the board, who's your number one here, Scotty?
Well, I think you're going to like this pick, but I think it's Jake Arrieta.
Oh.
The Cardinals have been someone I've been attacking. I mean, I used Vasquez last night, obviously, yep. Listened to the pod. You guys were on the same thing, but, they're just bad right now, the Cardinals. So I'm definitely liking the fact that Arrieta gets a chance to face a 25% strikeout team. So he's my guy.
Indeed. Now, if you look at the BVP here, too, I know Matt Carpenter, Colton Wong. I mean, Matt Carpenter, granted, he had the good game the other day in Minnesota, but this guy's really struggling. In fact, against Arrieta, too, 2-for-33 over the course of his career. Those two hits, though, were homers, 8 walks, 10 strikeouts against Arrieta. Now, I will say this. I think that Jake Arrieta and Matt Carpenter are both, players who I probably don't even recognize each other from this BVP history between the two teams. But I think there's just something in the Phillies pitchers' water bottles nowadays. Like everybody's going bananas right now on this team. So good to see that there. For my number one guy tonight, I can't believe – I mean, as a Philly guy, loving some Jacob deGrom, I think there's a lot of motivation for him to do well tonight, especially, going up against Arizona. Now they don't have A.J. Pollock in the lineup. It's a much different version of the team that started the season. But look, if DeGrom isn't well rested after what he did the last two starts, I don't know if he's ever gonna be well rested. So that combined with the fact that again, just plenty of motivation for him to finally have a good start. Now, I really like him a lot tonight.
Yeah, the one thing I wanted to go back to that Arrieta, Matt Carpenter, I think he was his best man at his wedding. So.
Oh, my.
And I believe last year he took him deep when I found that out. It was one of my narratives. So if you guys are into narratives, best man, wedding, that's one of your things you like to look at. So.
Big best man narrative guy. I mean, it's a proven track record over the course of time.
But, yeah, of course.
All right, so we've got DeGrom, we've got Jake Arrieta. Those are two options there, both NL East guys. Anybody else popping up on your radar today?
Sean Newcomb. The only problem is that he's kind of been priced up. I mean, and for a great reason. He's been solid. And the fact that they're playing the Marlins, who have been horrible again against the left-handed pitching. So
now we know. Oh, go ahead.
No. I definitely like him. Especially.
I was going to say we've seen the Marlins do some of their best work against aces this season. So I don't know if we necessarily consider Newcomb an ace. It's like, you know, the guys who we expect to do well against the Marlins, these are the kind of guys that falter. But it's just interesting how Miami has been an absolute pain in the ass this season for ace pitchers. One guy that kind of popped up to me, too, Felix Hernandez. Now, this is a guy who I have been very vocal about, like, targeting many of times, but things seem to be a little different when he's at Safeco Field. Vegas loves him tonight. I mean, he's going head-to-head against Michael Fulmer, and, you know, Seattle is a convincing favorite in this game. We got a 7.5 total in the game as well. Again, I really don't like using Felix that much, but this is a worse version of the Tigers lineup. Detroit has the third lowest implied run total on the slate. I think you could do a lot worse in some spots.
Yeah, I mean, looking overall, it just with a monstrous slate, you know, if you're playing DraftKings, you're obviously going to be paying up and then paying for one of those value guys. And I totally agree with Felix. I mean, especially the fact that the Tigers have no Miggy, no Jameer, what's that guy's name?
Jaime Candelario.
Yeah, Jaime Candelario. They don't have him.
It's a silent J or soft J. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean it's a broken down lineup with the likes of Jacoby Jones and whatnot. So I totally agree with that pick.
Okay, very cool. Anybody else?
You know, it's just unfortunate. You know, I usually play Max. I'm a Nationals fan, so it's just one of those slates that I haven't really dug into the guys. There's not going to be a Dawn Detector article today, so I'm going to have to go back after this pod and kind of look at some more guys as we get closer to the, you know, the rain situation and obviously the lineups that pop out.
By the way, I have to give you a podcast high five. The Dong Detector has just been like a crystal ball of 18.7 FanDuel point shots. I mean, excellent work there.
Yeah, thanks for that.
All right. Let's see. Two lefties I kind of had some interest in today. Now, I'm sure I'm going to get some raised eyebrows on these, but that's all right. They're supposed to do that. Drew Pomeranz against the Orioles today. He actually had really good numbers against them last season. He was 2-1, 1.96 ERA in 4 starts against them, 22 strikeouts in 23 innings. You look at the history, too. I mean, you know, most of that history is from last season, but lots of success there. And Pomeranz has had at least 6 strikeouts in 3 of his 5 starts this season. We just saw a lefty dominate these Orioles yesterday. GPP play for sure on Drew Pomeranz, but agree, disagree with him?
I totally disagree.
All right.
And I say totally. That's probably a little bit of a far stretch, but just Machado is just ridiculous. And yeah. Again, I could see playing Pomeranz and but plugging Machado in there.
Yeah.
But that ballpark is just too friendly for all the right-handed hitters, and especially them going against the lefty. I've been riding Baltimore since they went off against Kansas City. It's not profitable, but when they do hit, they're going to be hitting, you know, a couple home runs here and there. So
I forgot how many did Price strike out last night?
I think it was 9 or something. It was a lot.
Okay, because if you look at that, if that's the case, then, you know, Pivetta with 11 strikeouts against the Orioles on, what was that, Wednesday? Yeah, I'm getting my days mixed up again. And then David Price with the 9 there. So that's back-to-back games with that many strikeouts. Now, do I think Pomeranz will get to that level? Probably not. But, you know, I think, you know, in terms of looking at a low-owned pitcher for a GPP, that could be an interesting one. Blake Snell was somebody that kind of popped up to me, too. I mean, the Angels, they're not hitting at all right now. Justin Upton got injured last night. He might not be in the lineup. That's a big detriment to a team that, you know, has some pretty good guys against lefties. You know, you look at the Angels lineup, too, like, Ian Kinsler, his numbers against lefties aren't that great. Cozart, same thing. I've been a huge Blake Snell fan since the beginning of the season. I actually got him on both of my season-long teams. But is this too risky of a spot?
I don't know. Snell has been a Dr. Jekyll. He's actually been pretty good his last couple starts, but I don't know. I don't trust the young kid. I know you're obviously, you know, invested in seasonal. I don't know who plays seasonal anymore. But I'd imagine that's not something I would be looking at. If I was going down there fishing, you know, to save money, my guy would be Fulmer, ironically, because he's kind of had the ups and downs too. But I've seen basically his pitch profiles were very well against the Seattle the Mariners, especially with them out having no Cano now and not having Nelson Cruz possibly tonight. I like his. His profile tonight, if I'm going to go down there and fish.
All right, very cool, very cool. All right, so we can kind of transition this into maybe like I feel like I'm popping it up on you on surprise, but any stacks tonight that are intriguing. But what's interesting is, so I just want to talk about the Colorado-San Francisco game real quick. So we got two lefties on the mound where Kyle Freeland goes up against Derek Holland in this game. So it's hysterical. I always laugh with lefties against the Rockies because they have such a high strikeout rate. But if you look at some of the numbers of their players against left-handed pitching, you're like, how the hell could this ever not work out for the Rockies? I know Kyle Freeland's going here for the Rockies too. He's actually been better at home than he's been on the road, which is kind of interesting. But in that game tonight, what do you think? Like, do you think we see more pitching, or is this a potentially sneaky stacking?
So San Francisco, obviously, with that big ballpark, it's always one that I've always tried to figure out. Is that guy going to be good enough to keep the ball inside? Derek Holland, like, gives up, like, 2.7 home runs per nine or some god-awful amount.
It ain't good.
At one point, he was giving up the most – I think he still might be giving up the most home runs this year, but – when you have guys like Chris Iannetta, who's made a career of just hitting left-handed pitching, and then you got, you know, arguably the best left-handed hitter and Nolan Arenado and Trevor Story, and even, you know, Charlie Blackman actually hits him.
Yeah.
You know, he took him deep, in three at-bats only. But, you know, I don't like maybe using the pitching there. In fact, I was going to stack up the Rockies if I would be using a stack in that game.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you look at our research station today. I believe Trevor Story is number one. Nolan Arenado is number two. So yeah, both of the. I've been using Brandon Belt a lot lately, and you know, we know that that's not the greatest hitting park, but you know, for a guy like that, I mean, I know I've heard a lot of talk about Brandon Belt, like just because he's on this this home run streak right now. But tonight he is going up against the lefty, so. Yeah, I might have to take a night off from the Brandon Belt bandwagon. Try saying that three times fast. But, yeah, it's AT&T Park's been kind of interesting lately. It hasn't, you know, necessarily been holding all the balls in the yard there. So, very interesting. All right, what kind of stacks are we looking at tonight?
I mean, like I said, the Rockies, the obvious one. The game that I'm going to have a lot of guys involved with is in Cincinnati. I know there's a weather threat there, but the fact that it's probably going to play, and the balls fly after it rains there. I don't know what it is. I've heard terms called misty dongs, but typically if there's a rain situation in Cincinnati, I play them. And the fact that you have Homer Bailey, who's on the mound, who's giving up home runs like candy bars over there in Cincinnati, it's such a beautiful stack. The only guy I wouldn't play would be Baez, but, I mean, Rizzo owns him with a couple home runs off of him. You know, you got Kyle Schwarber, who is actually from Ohio, so you got a little narrative there. Wow. To the other side of Ohio, but he's from Ohio. And
it's still state lines. Still state lines.
Yeah. He's still a Buckeye. Ian Happ, another powerful lefty, switch hitting. So you got to load those guys up on that side. But the other side, too, you know, he's taken Lester twice deep, Billy Hamilton. I don't expect him to take him deep, but when he gets on base, he's going to steal. And I know Lester's gotten better this year, but it's still something that you want to look at because two or three steals is just as good as a home run. So,
absolutely.
And then obviously Scooter Jeanette, Joey Votto, those guys can still hit left-handers too. So, and
yes.
I think the top guy would be Suarez has taken him deep twice. So, it's interesting stacks, game stacks especially.
Yeah, I'm a huge Hueno Suarez fan over there at the hot corner third base. Always against the lefty is appealing. Jose Peraza was even a guy there too. I saw he had some pretty decent success against Lester. He can certainly swipe some bags tonight too. So don't forget about that guy. Now this was pretty interesting. You ever look at those implied run total increases and decreases?
I have over the last couple of days. You know, especially you guys mentioned it in the pod with Seattle last night. But I'm not a big Vegas fan. If I did, I'd probably I have too many kids to take care of. I can't be spending my money in Vegas. But what's the insight you're seeing?
This is very interesting. So typically on a huge slate like this, you'll see a nice chunk of teams that have a nice increase, have a nice decrease. It's all decreases today. The biggest increase of the day is at plus 0.1, which is like nothing, barely a blip on the radar. But tons of decreases today. So the most notable one, the Chicago Cubs, who you mentioned, they went from 5.6 to 5.1. The minus 0.5 is the biggest decrease on tonight's slate. But again, too, you got all these teams like Toronto, Boston, the Yankees. They're all at minus 0.4. Cleveland, Tampa, Seattle, Texas, San Diego, all at minus 0.3. So this is certainly something that I've never seen before. Like, usually you at least get a handful of teams that are like, all right, you know, like we're going to get a plus 0.7 here. Nothing like that today. So
I got a question. So if you bet, let's say, on the Washington Nationals over and this game gets canceled, is that a push or do you get money for that?
I believe it comes off the board. I think they have to play at least a certain amount of innings for it to be a legit bet.
Yeah, five games, five innings.
Mm-hmm. It's like even those like the home run props, if you bet no on somebody, I think they just take it off the board if that guy's not starting because they have to play a certain amount of innings for it to register.
So I got a question about that. You mentioned that Mookie Betts was a plus 300 yesterday on the pod. What does that mean if I bet $20? How's that work?
So if you bet, that plus 300 is what you would make if you bet $100. So if you bet 20, whatever, let's see, I guess you would make $60.
I give you bad math there, sorry. So if I bet $100, you would get $300.
Yeah.
So this entire time, I've been writing my dong detector article, getting two or three a day. I could be baking $600-$700 a week.
Yes.
Just by, what am I doing with my life?
I don't know. That's a damn good question.
Jeez.
But yeah, these home run props are fun. So actually, I think Betts was 375 last night, but the 3 days prior to that, JD Martinez was at plus 300. And
wow.
JD, what they usually do on bodog.edu, that's where I grabbed the lines from, they only post the highest prop on each team. So Mookie Betts at 375, that meant, you know, no plus 300 for JD last night. He said, home run prop or no home run prop, I don't give a damn. I'm going yard. So
yeah, he's great. He's great.
He is fantastic. I love that guy. All right, we talked about that Cincinnati-Chicago game. Goodness, on both sides of that, I really don't even care what the implied run total decrease is. It's Cincinnati. It's the Cubs. They can hit some out. Any other ones that maybe we're not looking at?
A couple guys. Chicago White Sox, again, staying in the same city against Matt Moore. Matt Moore allows 1.42 home runs per nine. He's actually been pretty good. But with beef, you got Matt Davison who mashes, and Tim Anderson. They all mash left-handers. So I don't imagine that game will be overlooked, but you might be getting some people, especially the guys at low ownership, especially folks if they're going to be paying down a pitcher, especially. So you might get them as a low stack, but
now
that's what I like.
Oakland was absolutely fantastic last night. Now, tonight, they get Marco Estrada. Toronto's money line actually went down 21 notches. They opened at 138. They're now minus 117 today. So that's trending in the right direction for Oakland. But again, Estrada, fly ball pitcher, got a lot of home run hitters on this Oakland team. Is it going to be a combination for success tonight?
Yeah, I mean, Matt Olson, you got Matt Joyce, and whoever other Matt they can put on in front of Marco Estrada, you know, Matt McGuire. I don't know if that was somebody, but, you know, no, definitely that ballpark, again, is a right-hander, second best home run park. So, you know, not just the lefties are in play. I mean, with the reverse splits of Estrada, I mean, Crush Davis has got to be like, you know, one of your first. I think he's like 3,300 on FanDuel too. So,
let's take a
look
at that.
He's going to be probably 55% owned in cash.
He
easily.
Is 3,300. You are absolutely correct. He did the unthinkable last night. He went 4-for-4. He's a 1-for-4 homer, 3K kind of guy on a consistent basis. But that homer that he hit last night was hysterical. Flat footed Oppo Taco. Good for him, man. Way to go.
Yeah, he's awesome. He really is. He's another guy like that always appears on my dong detector because, you know, it's any night, really.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so you mentioned the White Sox. I like that, too. They actually they opened as an underdog last night, and they've since gone to a favorite. But, you know, again, last night they didn't know who the pitcher was. But Jesse Chavez today for the Rangers, right?
Yep.
All right, yep. So I'm on board with you there. Man, who are you saying? Are you like Fulmer later? All right, let's get into the positional break. I really don't see too many stacks right now that are jumping off the page to me right now. But catchers, I know you like Chris Iannetta, right?
Yeah, I mentioned Iannetta, especially against Holland. You know, his home run, fly ball. Not best ballpark, but I'll take my chances on a guy that is a career left-hander.
Indeed. I was going to say highest rated catcher in the research station today as well.
No, oh, it must be drained and plugged into my head when it comes to those guys. And then I mentioned like a beef Wellington,
yes,
like Castillo, that. Always in play if there's a lefty on the mound, it's definitely an opportunity for him to go deep. And then Wilson Contreras. I mean, Contreras has been hot, definitely in that game. Regardless if Bailey was worse, he still gives up two home runs a game against any side of the plate. So,
yeah,
those are about three guys.
About Homer Bailey earlier. He did so bad the Dodgers hit off him in his last start. So
they're horrible.
You got that. Yeah, I actually had Wilson Contreras ranked number one as my catcher today. He slowed down a bit here that last series against the Braves. I mean, his numbers look magical from feasting on the White Sox and the Marlins, but he's still gotten on base multiple times, 5 of the last 7 games. We got that. I mean, I'm a huge Wilson Contreras fan. Now we put him in the great Homer ballpark. Hello.
Yeah.
Hey, how you doing?
Great American small park.
Indeed, indeed. So you mentioned Iannetta. There's also another catcher on the other side of things. Nick Huntley's got some decent success against Kyle Freeland in the short term. 5 for 11, 3 extra base hits, one of those a homer. And then Christian Vasquez, 8 for 11 against Alex Cobb. Unfortunately, they're all singles. But again, if you're going to be one of these guys rolling with the Red Sox tonight and you got Mookie Betts, you got J.D. Martinez in your lineup, maybe, you know, little sneaky Christian Vasquez in there, probably in the 9-hole. Hey, look, if Mookie, JD, these guys are going to be hitting, that order's going to come around enough times to where, you know, Vasquez being the 9-hole hitter is really not going to matter that much.
One guy that has been a career left-handed hitter, too, home run hitter, is Sal Perez. He's taken CC deep ones, but he's only had 2 hits off of him. Again, I don't really buy too much into BVP. It's usually how that pitcher's pitching that day. So, I mean, Sal Perez, I don't think anybody would play him. So,
and I will say I will not nag your ear off with the BVP. But when there's something magical like an 8-for-11, it's got to be brought to the forefront.
Of course.
It's just another piece of the puzzle. There are so many of them. All right, any other catches before we move on to first base?
Man, there's so many. I mean, we could sit here all day and just do a podcast about catchers, you know, especially, I mean, you got Suzuki in a great situation against Straley if he's playing with his Flowers. I mean, obviously both catchers in Cincinnati game, you mentioned the Cubs.
Mm-hmm. Tucker Barnhart, respectable numbers against
Yankees. I mean, yeah, Gary Sanchez always is a threat to go deep. So, I mean, there's so many. Real Muto against one of my – the guy that I loved, Newcomb.
Right.
So, yeah, we could sit here all day and name those guys.
There's now, you're more of a FanDuel guy, right?
Actually, I'm more of a DraftKings guy. Ooh. I've been winning over there recently. I guess humble brag there. But, I play both. I mean, you know, it's just the two catcher thing, I don't know if it works strategy-wise. I haven't seen anybody really take advantage of that, but I like getting that catcher on DraftKings because nobody plays like the punt catchers that are mm-hmm. just basically going to hit a home run. Those are the guys you want.
Absolutely. I mean, I've been trying to make that two-catcher thing work. I almost pulled it off the other night where I had Grandal against the Marlins and then Contreras. I mean, something like that's always interesting. I'm kind of sick of using McCann and Hicks in the same damn lineup. Like, I'm talking about, like a Gary Sanchez and a Wilson Contreras combo, something like that. Like, and again, it's just amazing how low-owned these guys are. When I did that the other night with Grandal and Contreras, and it wasn't even a full slate, I mean, they were a combined, like, 33% owned. I mean, I'll take that every day of the week if I know that these guys are in a good spot to produce.
Yeah, because nobody wants to give up that first base. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. There's so many studs at first base. So, I mean, that's a great idea. I mean, if it works in GPPs, I'd imagine it's probably something that would become popular in the next couple of years.
Yeah, letting the cat out of the bag early. All right, let's get to the first baseman here. Speaking of those studs over there at the corner, who's the top guy? We got so many tonight.
Oh, I mean, I mentioned Rizzo. I know he loves your BBP. But Freddie Freeman against Dan Straley. Fly ball guy, giving up 2.77 home runs per nine. I mean, he's expensive as all get out, but
right.
I got an email when they always say who you play that much when it comes to Major League Baseball. I had Freddie Freeman last year. I don't even think he played more than 50 games last year, but I had him like in 75% of my lineups. I don't know why. It was like I'm definitely a Freddie Freeman mark.
I mean, the ballpark certainly helps there. I mean, that's a lefty hitting haven.
Yeah, definitely. Kind of going through. We mentioned Matt Olson.
Sure.
Tonight, definitely. I noticed they put on. See, the reason why I like DraftKings is Joey Gallo is at first base and outfield.
I
love playing Joey Gallo. He's one of my. Definitely a mark. I mean. With Joey Gallo too, those are my two.
That guy owes the crushes. Homer prop list one. 250 last night, needn't do a damn thing.
Yeah, well, the night before he did, and I actually got a $5 ticket on DraftKings for calling my shot. So
nice,
using my powers.
See, you were talking about making all this money, like I could be making $600-$700 a night, and you get the $5 ticket. I mean, you got to start small though.
Yeah, of course. The guy was on my dong detector yesterday, Eric Hosmer. Definitely a big fan of this guy because Nova throws fastballs and Hosmer is the best fastball hitter on their team. So him and Frenchy Cordero are like up there, but I think Hosmer sticks out more.
By the way, I'm so glad that you brought that up because I definitely would have forgot. You get credit for the dong on that Hosmer one because it hit that area in Pittsburgh in center field where it hit the wall. It's like. There's like a little foot space where it's the wall and the railing there, and it hit. So I'm going to give you credit for it. You got that one. You could put that one on the list.
All right. I appreciate it.
That was a blast. I mean, how's that not a home run? Come on.
Yeah, I saw it. It's just one of those things. I'll give you props to the first baseman with CJ Cron last night with that revenge. I'm coming home. And
yeah, man.
I mentioned you in Slack because I didn't want to be like, oh, I listened to the pod. This guy said it. I'm going to take it. But that was a great call because, you know, him going against who was pitching for them last night?
Skaggs.
Yeah, who was the top bat or top pitcher in the slate. And if you play Skaggs and you play him, you know, it doesn't really hurt you. It only knocks off the 3 points. So.
Yeah, I figured he would be chalky as all hell yesterday. And that's why at the beginning I was like, you know, I mean, it kind of makes for an interesting GPP fade. I thought everybody and their mother would be on it, but I really didn't hear a lot of steam on it throughout the day. So Worked out all right. One guy that kind of disappointed everybody yesterday, Justin Smoke, and I say disappointed lightly because he didn't homer, but he still had him. You know, he had the blooping double RBI there last night. I always like my Smoke against lefties. He's got the team leading numbers there. You know, against lefties there for the Jays. I talk about this a lot, having guys that have that switch hitting ability. You always got the platoon advantage. I don't think that this is something that is usually built into a lot of these guys' prices. But, again, a guy like Smoke, he kind of does have better power from the right-hand side.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he's only had two zeros in the month of May for your scoring system. So he's actually been on fire, and I don't think too many people are going to play him. I mean, if you look at the, you know, like the slate, it's so big, but that's a great call. Same thing. Great ballpark to hit home runs in.
Yes, yes, yes. All right, I'd be remiss if I did not mention my boy Carlos Santana. Five homers in the last eight games. The man is on fire. And again, I've been saying it, like, you know, we've been looking into these Statcast numbers a lot more this season, and Carlos Santana was just the most unlucky bastard in baseball with all these warning track shots that he was hitting, all these balls off the wall that he was hitting. Well, it's starting to get warmer now, and now they're starting to find the seats. So he's very expensive, though. I will say that. Over $4,000 on both sites. Not going to be cheap. But, again, that's another guy with the switch hitting ability that you can always put yourself in a favorable spot.
Agree.
We have many, many first basemen. And as I mentioned tonight, Brandon Belt's going against the lefty. I think tonight's the night to pull back off Brandon Belt. We can hop back on the Belt bandwagon the next time he's facing a righty. But, you know, if you're going to be paying all that money for Brandon Belt against the lefty, I just don't think that that's the best use of the money out there.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely not going to hit the split on that one.
All right, let's get to second base on this one. Typically, I've got like a set group of guys that I play at second base. It's usually like Javi Baez, Albies, and then Jed Lowry is like my rotation of second baseman. But I know that I heard you talk illy about Baez before. I saw that 0-for-4, four strikeouts against Bailey.
Yeah, he's a free swinger right at this point too. If you weren't on that home run train he had at the beginning of the month, I would definitely jump off of it if you're on it. But you kind of lucked out at this point. But he's gone. I mean, he's done. He's free swinging it. I think he had like four strikeouts the other day. Yeah, he's not where someone, especially his price. I mean, come on, is he still up there? Yeah. He might drop a little bit, but jump back on that train, but no thanks.
Yeah, when he comes back down, I definitely want to hammer that. And again, with Baez, too, he's been much better against right-handed pitching than he has against lefties. I don't mind paying up at that position because everybody tries to cheap out at that spot, so I don't mind it. With Albies here against Straley, top guy of the night?
Yeah,
the,
of course.
At the position?
Yeah, that kid's a stud. I mean, I don't know where they got him from, but I mean, I know where they got him from. He's like from like Cuba or one of the.
We're both NL East fans, so we're gonna have to deal with this for a long time.
A decade or so, but yeah, that kid's a stud. I mean, switch hitting, gets on base, he's stealing. So he's 5,500 on DraftKings. I mean,
a very Zoftic 5,500.
Yeah. So, but
all right, so who's somebody that's not going to break the bank for us at that spot?
I don't know what he is on FanDuel. I mean, he's still 4,000 on DraftKings, but Dozier going up against a left-hander in a right-handed hitting ballpark. I don't think anybody's going to be playing him. I mean, that's one of those games where I don't even think people are even look at the Milwaukee-Minnesota game.
Good call.
So
good call.
Always a good chance to lead off and, you know, tilt folks with that lead-off home run. Going way down there, man. Shoot, there's a lot of guys down here. They're just like, ugh.
By the way, Dozier, who you mentioned, top guy, top second baseman in our research station.
Wow, that's impressive. I haven't even looked at the research station.
Yeah, look at you, man. And they say Scotty's not a company man. Look at this, just nailing it right off the dome. Here's an interesting one. Number two. Here on the research station, Rougned Odor, homer
or bust? I was just
going to
say Odor.
Oh, man.
I was just
going
to say Odor.
The linear stuff. But, yeah, I mean, I'm a big fan of Odor with that home run pop for a cheap price. I dig it.
Yeah, definitely. And then the two Angel guys, which on DraftKings, you got Cozart available for third base, but him and Kinsler against left-handed hitters are always a positive split. But yeah, no, I was looking at Dozier too. I was definitely the cheap one. What's he on FanDuel?
FanDuel, the research station says 3,700.
Ooh, so he's 3,300 on DraftKings. So
for Dozier,
he's way down there. Wow. No, for Odor.
Gotcha. Odor, he is 2,600. Sorry.
Okay, so that's a nice little play down there. He might be very popular tonight.
I dig it. Any interest, yeah. Jed Lowry from the right-handed side? I'm sorry, left. What am I talking about? I'm looking at the wrong one.
I mean, Lowry's been an MVP candidate, arguably, than probably a Drubal Herrera.
Yeah, but no, you know what? The thing that's the reason why I said that is because he's been on base every game except opening day, so that I feel is pretty damn impressive. But yes, Jed Lowry, if I'm not mistaken, he's leading the AL in RBIs.
Yeah, you're going to die on that Odrubal Herrera hill, aren't you?
I'm not even a Herrera fan prior to this season. I have no choice now, but I think the guy's a goofball, but whatever.
Yeah, but no, that guy's always in play, especially, you know, again, in the ballpark. But, I mean, I'm not going to pay up for second baseman at this point. I mean, I might, you know, obviously, I'll bet Ozzie is definitely a luxury if you're paying that much, but I definitely am going to pay down. You know, Odor, like we mentioned, I think would be the ideal play for me.
Indeed. I'm looking at some other guys here. Whit Merrifield against CC Sabathia. Any interest there?
Yeah, always a left-handed. Him and Soler are the two guys you want to look at for Kansas City. Oh, I mentioned Perez, too, for left-handed hitters.
Yep. Pitchers. Yeah, Soler. Very, very excited about him. Okay, I think we got enough here. Last guy, I guess, Eduardo Nunez for the Red Sox. Maybe a cheap option as part of that Red Sox stack tonight against Cobb.
Yeah, I mean, is he stealing bases anymore? I mean, that 1 year he was stealing like crazy.
I don't believe so.
Yeah, I mean, Betts had three last night, so I mean, obviously the Red Sox are running, but yeah. I don't know what he's doing. He's not one of those guys I never get in that stack. If I'm running Boston, it's always JD, Mookie, Hanley or Moreland, and then I'll throw in a catcher sometimes just to kind of save that, you know, get that wrap around because he usually bat in ninth. But he doesn't look too well. He's gotten hits, but that's it. He's getting singles the last couple games. So not no interest for me.
Fine, just shoot down the Eduardo. It's fine. I won't even tell him. I'll leave it out. All right, let's get to the third baseman. We got some fantastic options here as well. You got Nolan as the top guy. I mean, he is second overall in our research station today, going against the lefty, Derek Holland. I mean, you can't get any better than Nolan against the lefty.
Yeah, of course, especially if it's out of Colorado, he's still an elite hitter against left-handed pitching. So
the numbers are absolutely insane. It's crazy. It's his numbers against lefties prior to this season were just, like, flawless. I mean, of course, they came down, like, a very little bit. But, again, I still got faith in this guy the time against the lefty.
He hasn't homered since May 5th, so he's definitely due.
Was that the Mets game when he hit it on the apple?
Yep. So maybe that was a jinx. He jinxed himself with that. But, he's due. He's running due, so.
Did you know that let's see here. Yeah, it was that game. That was the third time in his career that he hit that apple.
No way.
Yeah. He loves the apple. I have an awesome picture there from City Field. I actually hopped up on the apple and, like, stood there like a jerk with my Philly stuff. So, you know, just putting my dominance out there. Third base, you talked about the reverse splits for Marco Estrada. Matty Chapman homered last night. Seems like he's starting to get in a little bit of a groove. He's very damn affordable tonight. Probably going to be chalk, I would assume.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, he's way down there. That was his first home run in a couple games, but still, he's been smacking the ball. And especially if you're going to stack up the A's, he's definitely one a person you're going to want to include in your stack.
Big Matt Chapman fan.
Yeah, me too. I like him.
All right, who else are we looking at here?
Well, Josh Donaldson's facing lefty, check.
Yep.
Danny Valencia facing the lefty, check. I mean, I think the only one that I wouldn't want to play would probably – oh, actually, Davidson, like I mentioned before, playing against a lefty. So one guy I think is going to get looked over is, again, I go back to Seattle, but, you know, some, a guy is Kyle Seager. You know, I'm willing to play him even if I'm going to be playing Fulmer. He's at 40% hard hit rate. You know, he can get homered the other day. So he's been running hot, definitely.
All right. In Texas, yeah, it is Matt Moore. I screwed that up earlier. But, yeah, Matt Davidson, who you mentioned earlier, really like him there at third base tonight. But I don't know. I might have to eat that chalk on Matt Chapman. We shall see. All right, anybody else standing out here?
I mean, if you're playing DraftKings, a guy that's been, you know, brand new back on the thing, back on the lineup is Justin Turner. They still haven't raised his price. And then Matty Carpenter, like we talked about earlier, with Jake Arrieta, the best man narrative, which is now a thing. And then even at the bottom, I don't know what happened to him. I feel like he fell off the face of the earth, but Evan Longoria. It was always like a thing to play him against left-handed pitching with Freeland on the mound tonight. I don't know what happened to that guy.
Well, he kind of did fall off the face of the earth. He went to San Francisco where offense goes to die.
Yeah, so. Yeah, he's real cheap on DraftKings. And you just kind of hope that he can get a home run out of that payment.
I will say for Evan Longoria's case, you ever seen Moneyball where they talk about the guy being a good baseball player because he's got confidence that he's got a good hot wife?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Longo's got confidence. former Bucks cheerleader. Well done, Evan. Well done. Yeah, that's all I got for third base. Moving along, yeah?
Yeah.
All right, shortstops, got to lead it off. Trevor Story is the highest-rated hitter in our research station today. He is facing a lefty. Now, the price on Arenado is absolutely ridiculous. So, if you don't want to go that route, Trevor Story is $3,800 on FanDuel. Not sure what he is over there on DraftKings, but...
where he is looking at $4,100. He's actually in between Xander and Didi, so...
Ooh.
Yeah, Didi, nice divots.
I was going to say, with Didi Gregorius, man... I don't know. Do you watch a lot of Yankees games?
No, I try not to involve myself with any kind of Yankee prop. 27, what do they got, 27 rings, whatever?
Yes, way too many, far too many. Yeah. But again, they were winning rings when they were playing teams that had, like, side jobs as carpenters, you know.
Yeah, T-ball.
Four games. Back then. So that, you know, half of those don't even count. But I lost my damn train of thought. Oh, but with Didi Gregorius, man, his swing just looks so out of whack. For a while, and it's so weird because, you know, Didi started off so hot this season, but mm-hmm. there was a recent stretch where, I mean, he would, like, he's just hitting everything flat-footed, and like, none of his swings look good. So, again, you wonder, the Yankees have had so many days off this week, you know, you wonder if maybe that helped, and, you know, he can get his mind refocused and everything. But I think I'm going to be on the wait-and-see train with Didi. Pretty much all of his success this year has come... at Yankee Stadium as opposed to on the road. So, you know, yeah, definitely going to wait and see with him.
Yeah, they're in Kauffman tonight. And, you know, I don't know if you heard, too, they actually got stuck at Dulles International Airport, which I drive by every day. So I don't
know
how.
Great airport.
Yeah, so I don't know if he's his legs will be all cramped up, you know, with the other Yankees, too. So that's an interesting thing to see how that affected them. Sleeping on the ground, I guess, like in the terminal. So, but kind of going back to the shortstop, obviously Manny is always in play. Sure. You know, sometimes I make a lineup and just throw Manny in there if I have enough money and then kind of pay down with my pitcher just because he hits these home runs in bunches. So, you know, he hit a home run last night. So I would expect a couple more over the weekend, especially if they're staying in Boston.
Yeah.
The Indians kind of cooled off. I don't know how they cooled off against the Tigers, but Lindor's another guy switch hitting. Charlie Morton, which I don't even think we mentioned Charlie Morton at the beginning.
We did not. Oh,
who's been on steroids or something. I don't know what he's doing. Because he played for the Phillies, he stunk, right?
Yeah, it certainly wasn't this guy.
Yeah, and he played for the Pirates, and he stunk, right? Mm-hmm. But, so, I don't know. But Lindor, definitely always in play. And then we mentioned Story, obviously, top guy on the research center. But if you go all the way down, there's nobody after those top three guys. So, I mean, DeJong is like the only guy I think I would have an interest in. And obviously Anderson, if you can include your Chicago White Sox stack. But.
Sure. You know what's interesting? Andrelton Simmons, one of only a handful of players this season that has more walks than strikeouts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this guy's absolutely ripping. Jose Peraza, who I mentioned earlier, could get some steals off Lester tonight. That would be an interesting one. How about Xander Bogaerts? Three-run homers in back-to-back games here. He's kind of the guy that, you know, gets overlooked when we talk about these Red Sox. Or, yeah, low nut, Betts, JD, Benintendi. Bogaerts is like, yo, I can hit homers too, bro. But he's back. I think he's in a nice spot here against Alex Cobb. That could certainly be interesting. And I believe that'll do it for me at the shortstop position.
Yeah, I'll tell you a story about Xander after the pod offline.
Oh,
it's interesting. It's a teaser.
Not safe for work?
Oh, no. It's a funny story. I don't want to bore everybody. We're going to move on.
All right. All right, so we're done with shortstops. All right, so outfielders, we will end this damn thing off. So got to lead it off with JD and Mookie, right?
Oh, yeah, those two guys are every day. I think somebody tweeted me and they said, does this mean that Mookie Betts is on the dong detector? And I replied, you know, Mookie Betts should be in play almost every game. Unless he's not playing, that's the only reason why he should not be in play.
For real.
So, I mean, he's just ridiculous. Batting like 370, I think, something like that.
We were talking about MVP candidates before. Yeah, this is the benchmark right here, folks.
Yeah. I mean, he's a fun guy. I hate the Red Sox, but he's one of those guys you could honestly root for. He's a little guy, too, so not definitely in play all the time.
And he looks like Russ Pennebaker from Mr. 3000.
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
Ah, the Bernie Mac movie.
Yeah, I'm not tracking.
Oh, gee. You know, this is the second day in a row. I gave a quote to Lowe's yesterday, and he didn't know it from Major League. I was just like, unbelievable.
I watched that movie last weekend when I got my vasectomy. There was nothing else for me to do. Sit there with the vasectomy bag on, but I watched Major League. That movie is so good. Like, if you haven't seen it, I would recommend it watching it again, especially that you're an adult now.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's so many. It's so good.
Fantastic. So quotable.
Great movie.
All right. Who, besides these Red Sox outfielders, which I'm sure are going to be pretty popular once again, who could we sneak up on the masses with?
Oh, man. What's going on with your boy Hoskins? What's his problem?
Just one of those things. You know, it was great earlier in the season. He was ripping the ball, you know, not having much luck with it. But he can't even make contact right now. So, I would kind of like him to get a day off, to be quite honest with you. I think he could use it because I think they could lock it down with, like, Herrera, Nick Williams, Altair, who I like today, Mr. Altair. But, you know, I think that they could hold it down for a day. Let Reese get a nice day. Let him clear his mind. Do his thing, but yeah, he's just not feeling it right now.
Yeah, I don't know. I had a man crush with him last year when he was hitting all his home runs because he's really easy to plug and play. But kind of moving down, I mean, obviously you got the top studs. You can go all the way pretty much to Hoskins and Schwarber on DraftKings. So he's at 4,400, and that's where Mitch Haniger hangs out. Acuna is actually 4,300 only against Straley.
That's all. Cool.
Yeah, that's it. He's a stud. I don't know why he's so low, but he'll be up there in the 5,000s by the end of the year, my prediction.
Yeah, I would think so.
Definitely.
Hey, and to add on to Acuna right there, my new favorite toys, Nick Markakis, Ender Inciarte. I mean, these guys always go overlooked, and they're in just as good a spot tonight as anybody else on this Braves team, so don't forget about them either.
Yeah, Inciarte is just running. I mean, it's ridiculous.
And I was a running.
kind of going down. I mean, there's my boy Crush Davis only at 4K. He's squeezed in there with Joey Gallo at 4K too.
3.3 on FanDuel, folks.
Wow, jeez. I mean, this is a home run. That's all you need. I mean, both those guys are capability of double donging it. So, it looks like Nelson Cruz is out, but against Fulmer, you know, if you were going to look at it that way, I usually try to leave him at against a left-hander. But he is hitting better or more home runs at home in Seattle than he is on the road. And I made a joke the other day. It's like maybe his side chicks are taking too much out of him on the road.
Oh, my.
Right. I mean, yeah, that's a little bit. Is that X-rated?
No. That'll play well on this podcast.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know what it is. It's weird. Like, he has more home runs at home, but he has more hits on the road. Just a weird.
He likes weird... hotel linens.
That's what it is. And then you kind of get the guys that are just like, you're kind of just hoping when you're going down way down there, just hoping for home runs. Like I mentioned, the Cincinnati stack, obviously Duvall against the left-handed Lester, mm-hmm. and then Soler against Sabathia, another left-hander. I'm interested if my boy Clint Frazier is back tonight, if he's going to be in the lineup, being a left-handed guy against the right-hander, and where they're going to put him, because, and we mentioned the Yankees, I do pay attention to some, but are they going to put him up in the lineup? Are they going to move Torres, you know, up? Where are they going to put him?
I think Frazier got to be somewhere down near the bottom. There are way too many studs in that Yankee lineup for him to be cracking the top, you know, three or whatever. I don't know, seven kind of sounds like a good spot for him.
Yeah, he was up there a couple times. I think maybe when like Judge had a day off last year, but that's an interesting guy. I mean, definitely a guy to keep an eye on. I mentioned Cordero, Frenchie. He's going against a left-handed Nova, who basically just throws fastballs, which is a great opportunity for him to go deep.
I was absolutely smitten on Frenchie last night, and. Rough night for him. First at bat, gets one of the worst third strike calls I've ever seen. It was on a full count. He had a pretty good at bat. And then his second at bat, he actually went oppo to the edge of the warning track, faced a lefty, and then actually got a double. But again, this is a guy with so much raw power that, again, too, against Ivan Nova, you're saying that all these guys profile well against him. So, I love that PNC Park for lefty power. That's where it's at there. So I definitely like that. Again, too, like I'm interested to see what the Phils do with their lineup. But Altair and Nick Williams both under $3,000. So if you're paying all the way up for DeGrom, I think that's an interesting way to go. Maybe with some salary relief. Man, really, really liking some Braves tonight. Also, too, you got Corey Dickerson, Gregory Polanco. I know Tyson Ross has kind of had a rebirth of sorts this season, but again, lefty power, PNC Park, I dig it there, and I think that they can get this done against Ross.
Yeah, he's a good guy to steal off of, too. So if they get on base, I'm not sure if Dickerson can steal, but I'm assuming Polanco could still run.
Absolutely, absolutely. So. All right. Anybody else that we may have left out?
I don't know. There's so many. I mean, I think, you know, using the resource station, using the domination station, and reading the VIP articles, if you're not subscribed, you should be at this time.
Absolutely.
Are the way to go. I mean, there's not going to be a Dong Detector article, but I can tell you the rest of the guys are just as good, if not better, than my articles when it comes to, you know, identifying plays. Obviously, you know, Al here has this, his article of his own, so the Wingmen.
Wingmen! What?
So, you know, he's obviously going to be able to identify some of the home runs. The trend I was going to mention is that it just seems to me, and maybe this is just a conspiracy, but whenever these studs on these slates, like we got my man Max Scherzer, Charlie Morton, DeGrom's up there on DraftKings, it seems like you always get that little 2K 2100 home run. Uh-huh. And it just, because, you know, it just seems to work out for those people that, oh, I'm just going to play Max Scherzer, and I'll throw in Joey Rickard, and then he hits two home runs, and it's like, come on now. So it's just a weird thing that I've noticed. So you may find a couple guys that are down, you know, in the bottom there that are going to go deep. And sometimes it's pretty fun to kind of maybe try to figure out who those are.
Yeah, absolutely. On your own. And you bring up such a great point with all that, because I feel like, you know, sometimes having the right play is, you know, based on the numbers and everything. But I mean, how many times have you, like, you're scrambling a couple seconds before a lineup. You're like, oh, my God, I need a min-price guy that's in a lineup tonight. And, you know, and he just ends up working out because of your roster construction. You know, like, if you pay all the way up at pitcher, you're obviously going to have a different set of players in your lineup. So it's very interesting to see how one player can kind of alter the rest of your lineup construction.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you're looking at right now, if I was going to guess, Rua – actually, sorry about that. Not him. But Clint Frazier's 2K. So look at that. Kansas City. You do your not so if you play him, you can definitely fit if you're gonna do your split. And hopefully maybe he's batting ninth. So you can go Judge, you can go Stanton, you can go Frazier, and then you can go whoever, Torres, and then you can probably fit the Yankees in there, so.
Yeah, I know. Also, look out for this over the weekend. Actually, probably not on FanDuel because they take like 8 days to get a player finally in their pool. But the Pirates are calling up Austin Meadows, who is one of the top prospects in all of baseball. I was reading some stuff about him. He's only got one homer at the AAA level this season, but he's definitely a guy that they think in the future, you know, is really going to turn it up here. But again, if he's going to be a low priced option at any point over the weekend, you know, if he hits a couple gap shots, maybe a couple RBIs against the Padres, you know, certainly within the realm of possibility. So look out for that guy, Austin Meadows, to see if, you know, either of the sites are going to have him on their rosters here coming up.
Yep. And then, look, you got Chris Young sitting at 2,100 on FanDuel against the left-handers. You know, has two home runs, but he's only batting. I mean, you can go find them. There's a lot of guys. It's a monster slate, but that typically seems to work out where if it's Max Scherzer or Sales, on the, they're going to have a $2,100, $2,200 home run.
Very cool. Yeah. All right, that'll do it for us today on Friday's podcast. Big thanks to Scotty. He's going to be on more and more of these podcasts as we go on throughout the season. So definitely a pleasure doing it with you here today. If you want to join us and you're not with the DFS Army yet, you can do so. DFSArmy.com. Use that promo code podcast to get 10% off an already low monthly price. Folks, the best prices in the business right here for everything you need with DFS strategy. For me, Scotty, and the rest of the Army, we go.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA, weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today and get two free ebooks, as well as The Secrets to Unlocking a New Level to Your Game.